This is BSS Carolinas, live from Charlotte, North Carolina. We are proudly sponsored by Attitude Broadcasting with your host, Rocky. The next one said J.J. Barea. I was like, what? What did J.J. Barea get player of the week? Up to number four, a serviceable player. Fitzpatrick. I'm going to say Summit Foundation. Jason Garrett. Mr. 315.
The Cowboys. Wait a minute. Jason Garrett's the coach for Dallas? I'm going to have a name. Jesus Shuttlesworth. Don't give him a pass on that suit either and that hat. Tom Brady. Probably the best.
And Big Shot.
And ain't nobody fresher. I'm in Mason, Martin, Margiela.
Yeah. Tom Brady. Global losers. Dude. Yeah. Gotta show them love while you can. The doo-doo Browns get their first win of the season.
Bill Belichick. He got game.
Be Reggie Langford. Who the hell is this running back?
Cowboys.
They holding up to six, baby.
This segment is sponsored by Cody Zeller.
You're listening to BSS Carolinas.
Welcome to BSS Carolinas on Stitcher, Spreaker, iTunes, iHeart, Radio, and iTunes. I am
glorious.
Joining me today in the studio is B3 Exponent
from North Carolina. Dab on you. What's going on, Rock?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm beautiful.
And joining us today also is Mr. 315.
Coming at you all the way from the 315.
Woo! And also joining us today's studio is the one and only Smoochie.
Go Phoenix.
Big offseason for the Charlotte Hornets this year, of course. Trading for Dwight Howard. Drafting Malik Monk and Dwayne Wade. I mean, sorry, Dwayne Bacon. I got a chance to see you guys at Summer League. Sorry to not have seen Malik Monk, but Dwayne Bacon looked like he could do some things in the league. Just tell me a couple takeaways you have from Summer League about the team, and what would you like to see Malik Monk accomplish and Dwayne Bacon accomplish in their rookie seasons to say they had good seasons?
Yeah, well, like you said, it was unfortunate that Malik wasn't able to play, because we really want to get a chance to see if he can play some point for us this season coming up. And he says he played point in high school, which is a big jump, obviously, from the NBA. But we would have liked to see him play a little bit of point, because he really did a lot more just catch and shoot in college and didn't really handle the ball quite as much. So that was unfortunate. But like you said, Dwayne really had a good summer league, got better as it went along, and I hadn't really seen him play much. You know, we did a lot of preparation going into the draft, but once you get to the second round, for us as coaches, you really don't have a feel for who could do what and who the pick is going to be. So when we got Dwayne, they said he was a mid-range scorer and played at his own pace and that sort of thing, but we were definitely pleasantly surprised at the way that he played and the way that he produced as Summer League went along. And then we had, you know, a few other guys that were good for us. Travion Graham, who was on the team last year, did a really good job for us. He really showed the improvement from one year to the next that we were looking for on both ends of the floor, shot the ball well, defended as he always does. But he fills in wherever we need him. He's super smart and can play a bunch of different positions, so we were happy with him. And then the last guy is Johnny O'Brien, who, you know, can play inside, play outside, prefers to play the four, but played some five for us in Summer League, and is that fifth big who can stretch the floor a little bit, but also take a smaller guy into the post, which is important now because there's so much more switching in the NBA where a guy like that who can play outside as well as take a smaller guy inside is very important.
Absolutely. I saw the 8 and I saw Bryant and I got confused for a minute. I was like, oh snap, it's the rebirth of Kobe. No, from what I saw, Dwayne Bacon looks like he can just score so easily. But the real topic of discussion for Hornets fans is the Dwight Howard trade. There have been so many different opinions about it. People love it. People hate it. What do you see it being bringing to the Hornets and helping with the progression of Cody Zeller?
I'm really happy with the deal. First of all, you kind of look at what we had to give up for it, for Dwight, and you know, two guys who helped us last year, but guys coming off the bench, and then you also look at what we did without Cody last season. We were 4-17 without Cody on the floor last year, and we really struggled with our depth at the center position. So having Dwight and having that depth at the center position is really good. You know, we feel like with both Cody and Dwight, we have a really strong five position, which is super important. And to have guys who can both roll to the rim and catch in the paint and anchor your defense is very important. As you saw last season, our defense took a step back, and hopefully Dwight will be a guy who can really help our defense and give us that rim protector that we've been asking for and hoping for a long time and finally got him. So we're excited to have Dwight. Coach Cliff has coached him before, so he knows him. He has a comfort level with him. And I would assume, you know, Dwight has a lot to prove coming here and hopefully leading us to the playoffs.
We have associate head coach for your Charlotte Hornets, Stephen Silas, on the line. Coach, with the departure of Patrick Ewing, well, how much more have you had to take on? And what has been the biggest challenge for you with that?
Not so much. I mean, Coach Cliff does a really good job of giving us all a bunch of leeway and a bunch of responsibility. It kind of starts without having Patrick around. He's just such a great person and someone who you would never, ever know that he was a superstar by the way he is conscientious and really cares about other people. And I don't think people really got a chance to know Patrick the way that I got to know him, because he doesn't have that outward personality. But once you get to know him, he's just a great, great person. So we're going to miss the person first and foremost. But for my job, you know, not too much has changed. Coach Cliff got thrown out of the Boston game last year, so I had to take over that game and do that. And then it's just a lot more communication with Coach Cliff, and he'll bounce things off me that he hadn't bounced off me before, kind of more structural things, or dealing with staffing, or dealing with management and that sort of thing. It's more of a overseeing type position than actually hands-on. So a lot of the stuff hands-on, I'm going to be doing the same as I've done in the past. Move a seat over, and I'll be prepared if you were to get thrown out of another game. But coaching Summer League was great, and that was a great experience for me. But, you know, it's just being an extension of him and hopefully giving him what he needs.
A couple of seasons ago, before D'Antoni went to Houston, there was speculations of you maybe going to Houston and also maybe joining Luke Walton with the Los Angeles Lakers. How close were you to really doing that? And what kind of money were they throwing at you?
Well, we didn't get to the money part, but it'd been good. I had two good meetings with the Rockets. The first interview was in Chicago during pre-draft combine, and then the second interview was actually in Cleveland with ownership. And I had a really good time meeting those guys, getting to know them, really trying to formulate my thoughts as a head coach and thinking of it in a different way. You know, I've been an assistant coach. This will be my 17th year as an assistant coach, so I've always kind of thought in the mindset of an assistant coach, but to do it as a head coach was good for me. And for me, it's going to be important. The fit is everything. So the fit on their side, am I the right guy for the job, and is this the right organization for me as a coach? So it was really a good experience to go through with the Rockets and learned a lot, met some really really good people and got pretty close from what I hear. They chose Mike D'Antoni, and he ended up being a great choice. But just to have my name out there and then to go through the process was great. The Golden State thing was a little bit different. I met with them during the OKC series and talked to Coach Kerr and their management, and I had known some of the people there from when I was at Golden State prior to coming here, so a lot of it was just getting to know Coach Kerr because I didn't know him at all and going through the process with them, but they were great, and another situation where I got to meet some good people and think of things in a little bit different way. That was before they had gotten KD, obviously, and it was still a very good position. But since I didn't know Coach Kerr, I didn't get the job. And I'm definitely happy to see the success that they've had. And, you know, I coached Steph as a rookie, and to see him going from that skinny rookie who they weren't really sure if he could play the one or the two to be an MVP is definitely gratifying.
Speaking of Mr. Curry, he's been taking a lot of slack for that Instagram video that was out. I'm pretty sure you caught it. It's been everywhere. What did you take of it? What did you think of it?
Well, first of all, it was at a wedding, and it was at an NBA player's wedding. So, you know, guys are out there having fun, maybe some drinks are flowing or whatever, and I didn't really see too much of a big deal about it. You know, like, when LeBron did the Instagram thing, it was kind of a viral thing, and, you know, those viral things kind of take a mind of their own.
Absolutely.
And Steph was right there with it. So I didn't see the big deal that everybody else about it, like reading into it. Does Steph have animosity with LeBron?
Me either, Coach.
You know, and the whole thing. I just think, you know, it was the guys were having fun at a wedding. The song actually came on that LeBron was dancing to, and, you know, it was just one of those things. So I chalk it up to having fun.
What was it like to work? You know, you're talking about Golden State. What was it like to work for NBA Hall of Famer Don Nelson when you were with the Warriors? And how has that helped you today to be a better coach?
Working for Nelly was the best. I mean, he was the originator of pace and space and playing small and attacking mismatches. And, you know, we had, when I first got there, we had Baron Davis and Steven Jackson and Al Harrington and Jason Richardson. A lot of guys with size who were versatile, could switch and do a lot of different things. We actually had Al Harrington playing the center position for us when we were playing against Houston. And Gao Ming would try to guard him out the three-point line. And a lot of the things that you see now, Nelly was one of the first people who kind of got into that sort of thing. And I actually just got back from, we went on our family vacation to go see Nelly in Maui. And he was saying that, you know, this is the game, the way that the game is now with the guys flowing up the floor and shooting all the threes. That's how he always envisioned the game. And that's how he always wanted to coach. So he taught me so much, taught me immense amount about managing a team, about dealing with guys who are, you know, because you think of the guys that we had. He had Monte, he had Steven Jackson, he had Chris Webber, guys who are quote-unquote, sometimes you could see that they're not necessarily problem guys, but guys who, you know, some people think are hard to coach. And he was great with those guys and taught me a lot about that, which is a very important skill to have as your head coach. So working for Nelly was great. He's taught me a whole bunch. And to take all the offensive things that I learned from Nelly and then all the defensive things that I've learned from Cliff and everything else that I've learned over the last year, few years, make me a better coach and hopefully make me a head coach one day.
Hey, Coach, this is Mr. 315. Question for you. With the acquisition of Dwight Howard, will Kemba or Batum be playing a lot of pick and roll with him? Do you see that? See a lot of that in the season?
Yeah. I mean, Kemba's at his best in pick and roll, and Dwight's at his best screening and rolling hard and sealing in the lane. Batum as well is a very good pick and roll player, and he has the size to make plays out of the pick and roll. They're so different. Like Kemba, he uses his change of pace and his quickness and his change of direction to get into the paint and make plays that way. And
absolutely.
Then Nick, either kind of shoots his shot off the pick and roll or uses his size to make plays for others. Dwight's a very good screener, and a quick roller, and an athletic finisher at the rim. So to have both him and Cody pick and roll bigs are very important. And the way that the game is, like as right now, you know, you're playing four out, you're playing five out. The four man isn't Charles Oakley anymore, bigger, stronger guys. He's a guy who can stretch the floor for most teams. So you need that big, strong presence who can roll to the rim and finish in the paint. And we're looking for a lot of paint catches for Dwight, not necessarily post-ups, but a bunch of paint catches yeah. for him so he can just turn and finish, yep. and it'll be good. So I think he's a good fit with Kemba and Batum, as you alluded to. And the pick and roll will definitely be a big part of it.
Associate head coach Stephen Silas for the Charlotte Hornets. Coach, a lot of people see Coach Cliff and they see the seriousness and the dry humor, but there's got to be a good Coach Cliff story that nobody knows about, that he came in the locker room and he was snapping the players with towels or something. Give us a good story, Coach.
Coach Cliff, I mean, first of all, he's like one of the best people ever. I mean, he's a very good basketball coach, but really, really a good person, caring. I mean, relates to the players, as you said, on the sideline. He does seem very serious and yells quite a bit and gets on the referees and gets on our players, but he's able to do that because they respect him and because of the relationship that he builds with them during the summer. And you don't see that. You don't see him going out to dinner with every player during the summer or flying down to see Dwight in Atlanta or just, you know, making sure that even during these summer workouts when we have guys on the floor, he's up there and watching the guys and letting them know that, you know, he's not peering down from the ivory tower. He's on the court with those guys, making sure that they're getting things done and making sure that he knows that the players know that he cares about one, them, and their game. As far as like a story, he doesn't really, you know, we don't really have too many stories of Coach Cliff. I know when we were in Philadelphia, we had lost to Philly a couple of years ago at Philly. It was a really, really bad loss. And he took the ice bag. So the ice bag was right in front of him at his feet. And he took the ice bag and threw it against the wall. The ice goes everywhere. And he's like, we got to do a better job next time, you know, with, you know, a few expletives mixed in there. And so next time we played at Philly, we beat him pretty good. And he was saying how what a great job we did. And Gennaro Pargo, who was on the team at the time, took the ice bag and said, you blankety blank blank blank, and threw the ice against the wall, ice bag against the wall, and everybody started packing up. So, you know, he keeps it pretty serious, but he's not afraid to get loose too. And the guys know that. And that's why he's so good for our team.
Hey, Coach, how you doing? It's Smoochie. My question to you is, you know, with the Eastern Conference being so wide open, what do you feel is the next step for the Charlotte Hornets to make to be one of the top three teams in the East?
Well, we have to improve our defense from last year. Our defense took a dip. We've always been known as a very good defensive team and definitely took a dip. So this summer has been a lot of study, a lot of internal discussion, and a lot. We've really been doing a lot because the game has changed so much in just a few years. I mean, teams are shooting a bunch of threes and spacing the floor and you know, the standard defense of covering the paint and now getting out to the three-point line has its holes in it. So we've really been taking a look at it and trying to figure out how we can improve defensively. Our depth was an issue last year, and we've improved our depth this season with, you know, a bunch of guys, Michael Carter-Williams, Malik, White, obviously, and then hopefully an emerging Frank Kaminsky. So our depth will be better this season. We're going to have to be healthy and have some breaks go our way, but we have a way of playing, and if everybody plays to their capability, there's no reason why we shouldn't be right at the, you know, in a good spot in the East. So we're happy with the changes that we made this summer and the depth that we've acquired, but you know, that's all on paper. We got to go out and do it. We got to go out and play, and the games are what tells the truth. It's not, you know, your roster. It's not the stats. It's not this X's and O's. It's those guys going out there and producing on the floor, and that's what we're gonna have to do this season to be one of the top teams in the East.
And it's funny how you talk about, you know, getting different people on your team, the emergence of Frank Kaminsky, Michael Carter Williams, Dwight Howard. And in your opinion, what players on your team do you feel need to have that breakout season to really put the Charlotte Hornets as one of those top-tier teams in the East?
That's a really good question. There's a couple guys. I think MKG needs to get back to being MKG. He missed so much time, and this season, you know, was an up and down season for him. This is the first summer that he's had in a long time where he's been healthy and been able to work and really work to get stronger. That's one of the things he's needing to do, is get stronger so he can guard those elite guys at the wing position and hopefully make a few shots for us. So it's going to be a big season for him. To have him out there and be the player that we know he can be is going to be important for us. And then the other guy, as you alluded to, is Frank. Frank could do so many things with the basketball, play inside, play outside, and as I talked about earlier, that's so important now with all the switching that's going on and the importance of the pick and roll, and also the fact that teams are playing a bunch of five out and smaller at the five. It's going to be important for him to have a good year and shoot the ball well from distance, but also make plays in the paint at the four and the five, and then be able to guard. The one thing about switching for us is it keeps you out of rotation. So if you're able to switch Frank onto a wing and you don't have to get into rotation, or you don't have too committed to the basketball, that's good. So you're keeping the ball perimeter and you're not having to get in a help situation. If Frank could take a step defensively, that would be really big for us, because now we could do a little bit more switching, stay home a little bit more, and then be able to defend the three a lot better. So it's been a really good summer for him. He's been in Charlotte most of the summer working on his game as well as his body. And we would love to see him have a breakout year, and to have him as well as Marvin Williams at the four. That's a pretty good tandem, as well as the tandem I was talking about earlier at the five. We could have a strong front court with production from all those guys.
That is very true, and hopefully we get that this year. I want to ask you, from being inside with the team, you know, from Kimba's start, from when he was a rookie to now, how has it been watching him grow from that rookie to an all-star last year? How has it been?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, one of the most impressive things that I've seen in my career, and I've been around some pretty good rookies. Like, I was with Baron Davis, who didn't start a game his rookie year and grew to be an all-star. And same thing with LeBron. I was with him his rookie year, and you see what he's done. And then to see Steph in his rookie year and become MVP. But to see the jump that Kemba's made has been great to be around and really satisfying to watch, because, again, you know, when he came in, he was known as a hard player. Guy, he was known as a winner, but he was small, and people really weren't sure about his jumper and his ability to make plays for other people. So for him to do what he's doing and to be an all-star and be one of the top point guards in the league and to lead this team is really, really gratifying to see, especially, you know, when we first started, things weren't so good. And he could have had his head down. He could have blamed it on this person, that person. But he went to the gym, got his game right, led this team, and became an all-star. And it's all been him. You know, he's had a lot of help from Bruce Kreitzer, who's our shooting coach, Steve Hetzel, who works with him on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, it's the guy, and it's Kemba. And it's really, really been fun to watch.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely, and hopefully, you know, the sky's the limit with Kemba. Who knows? What are your expectations for the team this year? What do you project? You know, do you project third, fourth in the East? Do you Texas will be one of the best teams in the East this year? What's your projections?
Yeah, it's hard to say right now with it being August, you know, what our projections are. I want us to play well, kind of have a feel for how we're going to play and how we can be successful. Like I said, the defense is going to be a big part of that. But for right now in August, not seeing all our guys together, like I don't really know how Malik is going to kind of fit in and where, like I don't really know what he could do. And with Dwight, like how's he going to fit in? So there's a lot of question marks right now. So for me to say, yeah, top four in the East would be uninformed, really. But we expect to have a good season, obviously, and we're really excited about the pieces that we have, especially with Malik and Dwight. But, you know, not seeing the group together, it would be hard for me to say how we're going to match up against the other teams who, honestly, haven't really solidified whatever they're going to do as well.
How excited were you for Malik Monk to fall to you in the draft?
Very excited. You know, like I said, as an assistant coach, we really don't have a feel for the draft and the college game quite as much, because during our season, like we're watching our film, we're watching the opponent's film, there's plenty of film to watch, and there's not much time to really focus in on college guys. I did happen to catch the tail end of the game that he had against Carolina, and really had a great game that game, but didn't have a good feel. What all our scouts said, they were really excited about him, and as the week went along, people were saying that he could drop to us, so we watched a little bit of film on him, and he's an explosive kid. You know, he's an explosive scorer, can put the ball on the floor a little bit off the catch and shoot game, catch and shoot, you know, finds a way to score, has a little mid-range game, has deep range, can shoot a little floater. So offensively, we're definitely very excited and happy he dropped. Defensively, it remains to be seen. You know, it's a tough adjustment for rookies, and it's a different game. So we're going to have to see with that. But definitely excited to have him, and for him to drop to us, what was definitely gratifying.
Associate head coach for your Charlotte Hornets, Steven Silas. Before I let you go, and thank you for taking time from your summer vacation, man, because y'all have such a long, crazy season.
Absolutely. Thank you, Coach.
Appreciate that, Coach. Thank you.
When your father got the call that he was getting into the Hall of Fame last season, and he called you, what did he tell you he wanted as a gift? Or did you already have – do you have something in mind to get a man that's been, you know, recognized for all his great contributions to the game?
My dad?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was really cool. First of all, he was so he got inducted into the College Basketball Hall of Fame, and he was like, I graduated from college like 50 years ago. so he was like kind of surprised that they finally got around to him. So I did a little research and found out, you know, the College Basketball Hall of Fame's only been in existence for 8 years or whatever, and they're actually trying to play catch up right now, inducting all these guys, and it was real cool. My dad's the kind of person, he just wants to hang out He wants to. He was actually at the practice facility today. He wants to hang out with his grandkids, come through, be able to come to practice. You know, see Coach Cliff after games and stuff. He wants to. So since he stopped coaching, I think he's missed 3 home games since he stopped coaching. So he still has it in his blood and that sort of thing. So for his gift, I'd probably give him a break, a vacation, but he doesn't want it. So super proud of him, and he deserves it. I mean, you look at the numbers that he put up when he was in college, averaging 20 and 20 and leading rebounder over a 3-year career, still to this day. Obviously had the NBA career and the coaching career that he's had. So it's nice for him to be recognized for that because as good as a player and coach and person as he is, it's nice sometimes when you get recognition for it. And he's not real big on recognition or anything like that, but as his son, it's cool to see.
All right, associate head coach for the Charlotte Hornets, Steven Silas. Thank you for your time this afternoon, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime you want to call in, you're more than welcome, and you know, hopefully we can do this again soon.
Enjoy the rest of your offseason.
Let's do it once the season gets started. So we'll do it again.
Perfect.
Right. Awesome.
Look forward to it.
Thanks, coach.
Thanks.
All right.